Hello and welcome again to another episode of the LSU Professional Sales Institute podcast. My name is Greg Accardo and I'm your host. I am also the director of the LSU Professional Sales Institute. As always, we're coming to you today from the E.J. Orso College of Business right here on the campus of Louisiana State University. I'd like to thank all of our corporate partners who make our work here possible, and they are United Rentals, BXS Insurance, UniFirst, Northwestern Mutual, CMA Technology Solutions, Insight Global, Arrive Logistics, and Paycom. Our guest today is going to be Nate Swan. Nate is the VP of Sales for OneTrust. It's a new company. It's been around about 5 years now. Nate went on board with them back in January. And prior to that, he had spent close to 24 years with Gartner. In his last position at Gartner, he was the Senior Vice President, Sales, Learning, and Development. A lot of experience in the technology space, a lot of great insights, over 30 years sales experience. Very proud to have Nate on as a guest today. So, Nate, thank you for joining us today on the LSU Talking Sales Podcast. How's everything over there in North Georgia?
Everything is great. It's we're getting to spring. The dogwoods are flowering. That must mean Augusta, which is, you know, a couple hours away from here, is not too far around the corner. So that's great. I'm looking forward to the spring and the summertime. So that's a good time to be here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. So, Nate, why don't we start off just learning a little bit about you, some things about your background, and I'll just kind of lead off with this. I mean, you spent 24 years at Gartner.
Sure.
I think you made a great impact over there. You've kind of transitioned into a different role with a new company. So sure. Tell us about your background and some of the things that kind of led you to where you are today.
Yeah, I mean, I can go back even further than the Gartner days. So I've been in sales now for just over 30 years, 35 years or so. Have been an individual contributor for really the first 15 years of my career. And I think that was actually really formative for me, carrying a bag. I know a lot of people are always looking to jump into leadership roles and so forth, but carrying a bag is awesome. You learn so much about yourself. How do you get better? How do you do things? And then as a leader, I really understood a lot more about what is it that a person goes through on a day in and day out basis, because I carried a bag like they did for a long time. The Gartner experience, I think what that really prepared me for was this is about a business conversation. You know, this is not about the technology that you have. The technology is important. If you're with a technology company, you've got to certainly have a great technology to make it work. But people aren't buying technology for technology's sake. They're buying it to make their businesses better. And you've got to be able to bring that to life for them, understand why they're really doing something. It's about them reducing risk and taking cost out of the business or generating more revenue. So I think that's really what my background at Gartner taught me was people are investing in technology to make their businesses run better, more profitable, take the risk out of it, et cetera. And so make sure you never lose focus on that.
You know, just from my experience, you know, working with Gartner now, I've been in this role with LSU for about 8 years now. And, you know, working one-on-one with the team from Gartner, I kind of came away with the feeling that you were all a big collection of big thinkers. What I mean by you guys were not afraid to kind of maybe push the boundaries a little because you understood, I think, maybe you can correct me on this, that you had this understanding that sometimes you need to be effective and serve your customers. You need to be able to take a few risks here and there. Sure. And you have to think beyond the boundaries that we sometimes find ourselves in. Could you maybe touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, Gartner is a really, really unique company because, you know, as a technology company, you're focused on a specific area. Gartner focuses on all areas of technology. And we want you to really call on the C-level executives in those organizations that you're dealing with. And a C-level executive, the most important thing for them is not your technology. It's about solving their business problems that they have. And so as a sales rep at Gartner, you might walk into the office of a chief information officer and say, you know, I'm here to talk to you about how we can help you with this latest project that I've heard that you are working on. So say it's data center consolidation. And the person might turn around and say, you know, data center consolidation was really important last week. However, our number one competitor just had a security breach, and my CEO is asking me to make sure, you know, what can we do on the security side of things? So you've got to be able to pivot really, really fast, which kind of gets back to your question of what do we look for in a salesperson when you come to Gartner? What you looked for is people that are able to pivot in conversations and be able to say, okay, I understand. I was prepared for this. You took it in a different direction. I'm going to have a great conversation with you about why that's the most important thing for you and how we might be able to help you. And to do that, I mean, you can't sit there as a deer in the headlights and say, oh, I wasn't prepared for that conversation. I'm going to have to come back next week. You're only going to get so many at-bats with that type of person. It doesn't mean you have to solve their problem. It just means you have to contextualize that problem for them and why it's their number one issue now. And what can we do to help you?
So, Nate, why don't you describe a little bit about your experience and how all of that brought you to where you are today as the VP, Vice President of Sales for OneTrust?
Yeah, sure. So, I moved to the North Georgia area a couple of years ago and, really have been following this company, OneTrust, over the last couple of years. It is the fastest growing company in the United States right now. So not the fastest growing software company, it's the fastest growing company. And I'll give you a quick example. In 2021, at this time last year, we were 1,500 people. And this year we're 3,300 people a year later. So an incredible growth. And not only is it incredible growth, but it's incredible growth in an area that people are really looking for help, right? So when I go out and talk to people, whether it's students that are coming out of professional selling programs or people that are interested in talking to OneTrust about their product, what we are working on is stuff that people really care about. So privacy, governance, risk and compliance, ethics, impact to the environment. So the environment or the sustainability or the social side of things, people are really interested in that and making sure that they are doing the right things. So to me, it was just such a great company to come to because they do really well for their customers in an area that's really important for the rest of the world. Number two, they are fast growing. And number three, they got not just fast growing for a short term. I think they've got an incredible future and really are trying to create their own category in this SaaS platform of trust as a platform. And how does trust empower your business? In fact, I saw a report out of Adobe put this report out that around 24% of people's market cap as a company comes from their trust factor. You lose trust and you're going to lose revenue as a company. You're going to lose market cap. And that's, OneTrust is coming in to try and help people with those areas around privacy and ethics, et cetera, which help you gain trust with your clients and hopefully gain revenue as well. So really exciting company where it's going.
You know, it's interesting from a research standpoint, there's a lot of focus on this category of trust. How do you build trust when you're building a relationship and a sales process, right?
Sure.
And it's critical. And trust is usually the deciding factor when there's multiple options available. It's the company we trust the most.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot from buyers will say that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. They're getting ready. So first of all, I think this really, really well. The amount of time that you sell your product to the individuals at a company is probably about a tenth of the time that your product is being sold in the organization. They're having a lot of internal meetings, thinking about your capabilities and what's the right fit. Should we make this decision? Should we make no decision? Should we build it on our own? So they're having all kinds of discussions when you, the salesperson, are not there. And some of those discussions really come down to, can this company deliver for us? you know, is what's the risk? So we look at risk in the business. They're looking at risk of decision. And no matter if it's OneTrust or Gartner or insert the name of a company here, the company that's making that decision is making that decision to say, we need to solve this problem and we need to do it with the lowest amount of risk and the best return on investment. Do I trust that this vendor is going to actually deliver for me? So you've got to earn that trust. And then you've got to teach them why you are that trusted advisor, because they're going to be selling on your behalf behind the scenes.
It's like I tell my students that when customers are making a buying decision, if you list a top three, the four criteria for making a decision, price would probably be one of the bottom ones. But the top of the list is going to be trust.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think they're not going to make a decision. Now, procurement might beat you up a little bit and take their pound of flesh. But if you've prepared and shown that you have the right solution that meets their, kind of the positive business outcomes that they are looking for, and you are uniquely qualified to do that, price is not going to be an issue. If you're connected to a C-level executive and they say, hey, I need this solution, procurement's going to come through for you. If you are just so what, and yeah, I do the same as everybody else, and I haven't built that relationship, you're probably going to lose some of your price if you're the selected vendor.
So, you know, with that being said, you know, I look at your 30 years or so that you've been in sales.
Sure.
And if you go back 30 years, go back to early 90s and look at all the changes to today, what surprised you the most?
The professionalism of sales. I mean, sales as a profession has just grown up. I hate to say that it didn't even start in the 90s for me. It started in the late 80s. The technology at that time, I was selling technology for a computer reseller, was not hard drives, et cetera. It was 5 1/4 inch floppy disks. So that tells you how old I am. Yes. It was a long time ago. But I think sales as a profession has really, really grown. And I think people should really be thinking about what is it that they want to accomplish as a salesperson, because they are true business professionals. No business succeeds without sales, right? If you don't have sales, you are not in business. And so the sales profession and how you take it to the next level and the strategies and the how do we work with clients and how do we go about these circumstances, I think it's vastly different today than it was 30 years ago, where it was all about relationships and, you know, making sure that you knew these people and took them out for drinks or dinners and golf and so forth. That's not how deals get done. Deals get done because you understand what you are trying to do. It's so professional now in sales. And I think great salespeople are completely differentiated from people that are unprepared.
If you were talking to a graduating sales student to explain them how the business environment has changed in the 30 years that you've been in sales, what would you tell them?
Yeah. that salespeople are really honored now that they, if you go to the right place, you got to find the right environment for yourself. But that salespeople are true, the true professionals of the organization, and they make a great salesperson makes the difference for that company. And that there is so much out there to help prepare them as an individual contributor, you know, whether it's podcasts or research or just, you know, reading and understanding what's going on and understanding business books that are out there. You've got to understand that people are going to be making investments to make their business better. And you are a professional at their level. You might be an individual contributor, but you're going to make that C-level executive better because you did the homework. And I think that's kind of where sales has really gone. I mean, I look at the sales professionals that come out of programs like LSU. These students are so much more prepared than I was when I came out of school. I mean, I was an economics major and played a couple of sports in college, and you know, I was competitive. But I never came out and joined a training program or anything like that. And that was really kind of the foundation for what I wanted to build at Gartner, was I would have liked to have this growing up. And the vision was build something that in a couple of years, people would look back and go, that was game changing for me. And I'd like to do the same thing at OneTrust, you know, build that game changing environment that really prepares them, because the skills that they're learning at right now in school and the skills that they'll learn right when they get out of school and start having success, those are going to be the skills that they're going to still carry with them 20, 30 years later. Your habits that you're creating now are the habits that you're going to have for the rest of your career.
You know, something else I noticed too about your business experience, that you've been connected mainly, you know, Gartner, now OneTrust, with companies that are growth companies. And they're not maintaining, they're growing.
Sure.
Talking to business people, what would you advise them on? And all this experience you've had and the insights you've developed over the years working with a team focused on growth and growing not only new customers, but growing your existing customers, you know, offering new services and new products. What are you finding? I mean, what would you advise them on today this is what I've seen. And if you're in a position of managing a company or directing a company, these are some things that you should be focused on.
Yeah. I mean, first off, growing problems are a lot better than flat to declining problems. So when you're a growth company, you have high class problems. And, you know, fortunately for me, both Gartner and OneTrust are really rapidly growing. One of them that is in the later stages, OneTrust is only a 5.5 year old company. Last year grew, you know, in the neighborhood of 70-80% year over year. So unbelievable growth. Gartner has had double digit revenue growth for the last, you know, call it 15 years or so. It's incredible what they've done. So number one, growing companies are a lot more fun to be a part of because they create opportunities for you. I would say the common denominator between the two CEOs that I've worked for is they realize that sales is the growth engine of the company. You know, you can have the greatest technology, you can have the greatest research, whatever it happens to be, but if you don't have salespeople out there selling it, nobody's going to buy it, right? So you've got to invest in your sales platform to make sure that you're going to be able to capture that market opportunity. You know, if you want to grow double digits from a revenue standpoint, you're probably going to have to grow your sales headcount by 20, you know, that same double digit or just under that double digit. Otherwise, everybody's quota just goes up, you know, 15, 20%. No salesperson wants to see their quota going up 20% every single year. So you've got, if you're looking for companies and what's going on, you want to see that they're investing in the sales organization. And also the development. I mean, we've just seen this huge war on talent, the great resignation, whatever you want to call it over these last couple of years, where salespeople are realizing and all people are realizing that they are free agents. They can live where they want, do their job where they want, and still do it really, really effectively. So as a company, what are you doing to support the growth of the individuals? How are you helping them grow and develop and making it a great environment? Everybody can't be the number one provider for you know, the top pay, but how are you helping to develop your people, get them skills that they didn't have, prepare them for that next job? So whether it's growing as a sales leader or growing as the best individual contributor that you've got, growth companies are the ones that are investing in their people and especially in their salespeople. That is kind of the first thing I would be looking at as a sales professional coming out of these programs is, what kind of growth program have you got? Where's the opportunity in my company? And how are you going to invest in me? Because you invest in me, I'll invest in you. You know, Gartner, one of the great things about it is we had a really, really strong, and they still have a very strong development program. Originally, it was just in Fort Myers, now Fort Myers and Dallas. But you had to have a strong development program to recruit people down to Fort Myers. It's a great place and I loved it, but it's not where every student's dream is. But the development of those students, they knew they were going to walk away from that 2-year experience and either go someplace else with Gartner or go someplace else in an organization and they were going to be successful. So how's that company going to invest in you and make you better than you could possibly be?
So you kind of took away my next questions, and I was going to ask you, what would be the questions that you would advise a graduating senior from a sales program to ask a company in a job interview to determine if they're a growth company or not?
Yeah. Talk to me about your onboarding program. Am I going to be the only one coming in? Am I replacing the guy that's been there for 40 years and I'm just the next person coming in, or am I part of a growth class? How do you grow your organization? What's the career path? I think people, you know, do get a little wrapped around, I need to be a manager soon. I need, you know, that growth status within the organization. You know, after seeing hundreds, if not thousands of people come through the Gartner pipeline, you know, people mature at different levels. People want different things as they go in there. You don't have to have all the answers today. Like, you want to be a part of a great company. Does it mean you completely mapped out your career over the next 10 years? You know, I think maps get thrown out pretty quickly as we start learning what the job really is. And being an individual contributor, I loved it for the 15 years that I did it. You know, everything was on me, as I kind of put it out there. So understand where those companies are going and what the growth opportunities, do they promote from within, so that I can understand, you know, is this going to be an opportunity for me to do really well for the next few years, and then I can get into leadership? Or do they bring in talent from the outside of the organization? And, you know, what's the long-term trajectory of this group? So, you know, salespeople, when they start out, go into certain groups. They might go into a business development group, qualifying leads. They might go straight into an account executive or account management type role. And so understanding, what does that career path look like for you? Do I go to BDR role for 6 months to a year and then go to a, you know, kind of an account management role from there, or, you know, different sizes and segments? Mm-hmm. What does the progression look like?
So I'm going to ask you to go out on a limb a little bit now.
Sure.
And tell you to unwrap your crystal ball, look in it, and tell us what does Nate Swain say about the future of professional sales? What's out there on the horizon?
Professional sales, as in sales in general, or the professional sales programs?
Just the career of the role of a professional sales rep in a technology space. What 5 years, 10 years into the future, what do you see?
Yeah, you're the centerpiece for your company's relationship, right? So if you're 5 years out, you're kind of maybe working in a mid-tier type client size, maybe on your way up to a strategic accounts, if that's where you want to be. But you are the absolute go-to for your company, right? The two companies that I've been with use their salespeople as the conduit to their companies, you know, or to their customers. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to network into C-level executives. You have to be able to have technology company conversations, I should say, with the technologists of the organization, the architects, or the people that the doers with your technology. And you are the key feedback loop back for your company, right? So if your client is experiencing it, or your prospect is experiencing it, you are the conduit back as to what does the company need to do and innovate. OneTrust, as an example, is on a development cycle of every 3 weeks. They are developing new code for their software. So we want the feedback as to what's working for you, what's not working for you, what can we be innovating? And the salesperson's kind of the key, because they're the first person that's going to hear it. So don't think of it as, I'm just the salesperson. You're not just the salesperson. You are the centerpiece for your company's experience. Your CEO is generally not going to be out there meeting with all your customers. They might meet with a few of them. You are the person that's going to take that back. You're a business person. Act like a business person. Solve business problems. Don't solve technology problems. Solve business problems.
You know, you've had a lot of experience working with university level sales education.
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably worked with the top 20% or more of universities in the country with sales education. And, you know, we're just scratching the surface, really, with schools that offer sales education in their business programs. What surprised you the most when you look at that level of talent that's come out over the years? What was one or two things that really surprised you the most?
The number one thing that surprised me the most was, first of all, that these programs existed, right? They weren't around. You keep telling me I have a lot of experience. It's a good way of telling me I'm old, which is great.
Both of us.
I love these programs, because I think, you know, a lot of people are going to universities and they don't know what they're going to do when they get out of school. And you've got these professional sales programs, and at Gartner, we were probably aligned with 25 to 30 of them. Mm-hmm. And so I've certainly gotten to be, you know, closer to several of them as I've developed my career. But just knowing that they were out there, number one, was like, whoa, this, and it's great. The passion that the professors have, and then the actual sheer desire that that the students have when they go through these programs. One of the things, as an employer, especially an employer that is hiring, you know, first to third role out of college, is, do these people really want to go in sales? And I will tell you that There isn't a person that I've gone through the interview process that comes out of a professional sales program that doesn't know they want to be in sales. They know what the grind is. They know what the work is. And so you're at a huge advantage over other people. I will hire off campus in a professional sales program 9 times out of 10 over somebody that does not have that experience, probably 10 times out of 10, because I know they want to do it. And therefore that risk has gone away. And then just the professionalism that comes out, it comes with these groups. I mean, I've been blown away watching these role plays that happen at National Collegiate Selling Competition, or just seeing what these students do once they come to a Gartner or will be coming to a OneTrust in the future. They're confident, they're convicted, they know what they're supposed to be doing. And then they take your company training and they layer it on top of the, you know, the LSU program or whatever program they're in. And they're pretty unstoppable. I mean, they will get out there and do it. In fact, one of my favorite things about going to these collegiate selling competition is bringing people that have never been there before and saying, okay, now watch this, watch these people perform.
Yep.
And they are stunned at the talent level that is out there. So number one, it's hard work. Everybody knows sales is hard work. You guys have gotten through the mental hurdle of this is hard work. I think you've already weeded out the people that actually realize they don't want to be in sales. And oof, that's a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be. So just you're 95% through the journey. Now you just need to get to a great, great company that's going to invest in you and then just turn it loose. And hopefully you can make a lot of money and you can make yourself pretty happy in going through that process. It's very rewarding to help companies get what they are looking for, and you're getting rewarded for it as well. So I love the students coming out of these professional sales programs. They're great.
Well, you know, I'll share this with you. You know, one of the leading indicators that we look at from here is enrollments.
Yep.
And, you know, 8 years in now, I've been tracking a lot of the enrollment data for students who are coming into not only the College of Business, but choosing marketing as their degree.
Sure.
But also specialization in professional sales. Last fall, I get the list from the university. Right. There were 38 incoming freshmen to the university had already declared sales as their major. 38 freshmen right out of high school, which means they sat down with an advisor, with their parents.
Right.
They sat with an advisor for the university, and the advisor said, okay, do you have an idea of what you want to major in? And I want to do sales and marketing.
Yes. Well, and I think they're staggering percentages. I don't know them off the top of my head, but there's like 60 to 70% of marketing and business majors end up in selling at some point in their career, usually early in their career. As a friend of mine liked to say at Gartner, you generally are going to entrusted with one of two jobs when you're first coming out of school. You're going to either count something or you're going to sell something. I mean, that's really the jobs that they're going to give you when you come out of school. Yes, you're going into the marketing department, et cetera. We certainly have plenty of those, but those are the main roles that are going to be entrusted to a business student that's coming out of a university. And so number one, you're going to take that skill with you no matter what you do. So my father is a retired attorney. He had to sell juries on what he was doing. He had to sell clients on coming to join his firm. He had to, sell judges on this is what's happening in here. So you're always, everybody is selling in some way or the other. So the skills that they're gaining in the classes, whether they go on to be a lifelong salesperson like myself, I personally, going back to that crystal ball, you're going to have CEOs that are coming out of your professional sales program, because knowing how to sell is a key component for a CEO. There isn't a CEO out there that doesn't look at sales as kind of their most critical issue. How do I get more?
I'd like to think that an LSU sales graduate one day may be the CEO of Gartner.
that is entirely possible. That's entirely possible.
So to kind of go back and ask you again, if Nate could go back 5 or 10 years, knowing what you know today, what would you do different?
5 to 10 years, what would I do different?
Or well, go back 20 years, knowing what you know.
Go back 20 years. First of all, I would have gotten involved with these professional sales programs a lot earlier than we did. I mean, we at Gartner, we got very lucky falling backwards into it. I mean, we happened to interview some students from the University of Central Florida that were close to, mm-hmm. to Gartner. We had no idea what the program was and what it did. And within a month, we were at NCSC. And within 3 years, they were the title sponsor and they'll go on doing that for 10 years. So I would say that I would have gone back there and tapped that market a lot earlier. It's amazing the number of companies that aren't, and I'm not trying to reveal that secret and have everybody come in and take all the great students, but the talent level is staggering to me. And I think, you know, one of the things you should be looking at as you come out and get jobs is in 2 to 3 years, when I go do the BDR program or the inside sales program or the commercial rep program, whatever it is, that's the entry level at the company you're going to go to. I'm going to then go on to the bigger role, to the strategic and the field account roles. You're going to be competing with people with 7 to 15 years of experience from other big name companies. So if you're in the tech business, you might be competing with people from Salesforce or Microsoft or Google or Oracle, whatever it happens to be. But you've got professional sales program experience and you've got your company's experience. You should not be intimidated by that at all, because you've got a great background. You know how your company works and you know how to get things done. Mm-hmm. So if I had a crystal ball, I would have started on professional sales programs, you know, 20 years ago when they were really first getting started, because I think it is just an unbelievable network of students and I love them.
Well, let's shift your focus to today. So yes. Let's say you're talking to a group of graduating seniors, LSU, A&M, Baylor, pick one, doesn't matter.
Sure.
And you want to give them some advice. Go.
Yeah, I would say pick wisely. Number one, do your research on the companies. Know, you know, there's so much information and content right now out there about the companies you're going to work for, the people that are there, what are the values that they have. Money is not the most important thing, your happiness. I mean, I've been at places in between Gartner and OneTrust where it just wasn't the most happy experience. And I was making more money than I was at either of those two companies. And so money is important. It's not the number one. Pick your environment where you're going to go. Make sure that they're going to develop you. Do your research and make sure you know kind of all the people, what they're going to be doing. And, you know, your interview process is a sales process. Sell yourself, be prepared, take your experiences. Even if you don't have business experience right now, if you were a waiter or a waitress last summer, take that experience and turn it into a business experience, how you overcame adversity, be prepared to tell your story. So I think, you know, every company has an elevator pitch about what their company does. What's your elevator pitch on yourself in 30 seconds? If you happen to run into the head of sales from a company you'd love to work for, what would you say? Be ready to say it at any point in time.
It's great information. And I'm constantly preaching the elevator pitch. You need to have that down pat where you can do it at a snap of your fingers. You can do it for anyone, anywhere, and know it that well, because the opportunities come, if you're not prepared, they're going to pass you by. And
that's
you
right.
need to be able to sell yourself and why you believe you would be a great fit for their team.
Yeah. If you've gone through any of these professional selling programs, I really have not run into a professional selling program that doesn't do it just a great job in developing their students and helping them get ready for that next level. If you've gone there, have confidence that you can do it. Sales is a confidence game. You see it in sports all the time. You know, you hit one jump shot in basketball, you know, all of a sudden the you know, floodgates are open. You make one pass in football, the floodgates are open. It's the same thing in sales.
And it's called a hot hand.
Yeah. But what helps you gain that confidence? It's not luck, it's preparation. And it's, you know, doing your homework and understanding what the scenarios are going to be and how could it go this way? How could it go that way? What am I going to say if they ask me this? You know, people, if you think about football, whether it's college or professional. So college, I think they're limited to 20 hours of preparation, you know, practice time and film study before a game. And so they're spending 20 hours preparing for a 3-hour game. Mm-hmm. So how are you preparing for your interview? How are you preparing for your number one sales call out there? If you're in a high churn environment where you're, doing a BDR role at first, yeah, maybe you don't get that kind of level of preparation. But when you start selling and selling strategic solutions, that planning is so critical and will give you the confidence that you can sell at a higher price, sell it for a longer term, and actually deliver what the client's looking for. So that level of preparation, I think, is just critical.
I think that goes full circle back to our first point we were talking about with trust.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. The harder I work, the luckier I tend to get, right? You build that repertoire, you build that kind of talk track and your confidence and conviction, and they're going to sense it. I heard this line one time, and I think it's so appropriate for sales. People don't buy because they're convinced. They buy because you're convinced, right? If you don't have conviction in what you're selling, it's going to come through to the people on the other side, right? They need to be convinced that you're convinced that you can do the job for them. They're like, okay, I'm willing to bet on this guy or gal. They can actually get it done, and they're very convicted in what's going to happen. So
excellent advice.
Yeah, build that conviction.
Well, Nate, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today. This is all really good stuff. I think this is all very relevant and is pretty important. So thank you again for taking time out of your busy day.
Yeah, Greg, I really appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me on the podcast. Go Tigers. Whoever else is out there. I've got SEC representation in my family as well. So I'll go Vols and go Gators as well. So we're all there. We're one big happy family.
Thanks again, Nate. We appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us on this episode of Talking Sales, the LSU Professional Sales Institute podcast. If you would like to find out how you can recruit some outstanding sales talent from the LSU Professional Sales Institute, there's a couple of ways that you can reach out. So first, I would recommend that you visit our website. It is lsu.edu/business/PSI. Or you can email me at gaccardo@lsu.edu. And another great way to communicate with me and to get a hold of me is on my LinkedIn page. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so I'm easy to find. It's Greg Accardo. I look forward to hearing from you. It's a really exciting time in sales, as we all know. Virtual is here to stay. Maybe it may get diminished a little, but guess what? Virtual is going to be part of our new normal. So, and we're teaching our students currently how to maximize this virtual environment. So again, my name is Greg Accardo, and you can find me on LinkedIn or at gaccardo@lsu.edu. Thank you.